Good morning and welcome once again to another edition of Studies in the Gospels right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host for this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We are in the midst of a portion of our study we are calling A Year of Development in and around Jerusalem. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. We're going to examine verses 38 through 42 as we consider Jesus' two dear friends, Mary and Martha. Let's go right now to our text here in Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus had three very close friends that lived in Bethany. Jesus stayed at times in the home of these three siblings, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, when he was in the region of Judea. They lived together in a house that was apparently owned by Martha in the small area of Bethany on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. Now let's go back now and notice verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. This house would have been located a couple of miles from Jerusalem. We encounter Martha in three passages of Scripture. We find her in today's text when Jesus taught in her home while she busied herself preparing food for her guest. We also find Martha in John chapter 11 when Jesus raised her brother Lazarus from the dead, and also in John chapter 12 and verse 2. When Jesus visited her home just 6 days prior to the crucifixion. Here in Luke 10 and verse 38, we find Martha busy preparing food while her sister Mary anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume. So let's consider now some applications from this passage. We need, one, to avoid becoming distracted. We do not need to get sidetracked in our spiritual life. Look at verses 39 and 40. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Mary and Martha are both disciples of the Lord, but they react to the visit by the Lord in two very different ways. We can note that in our lives, we can both worship and serve the Lord. There is no conflict between them that requires us to choose one or the other in our lives. There are many Christians today that end up with a conflict in their life similar to that of Martha. But it should not be this way. Now Mary apparently was in the kitchen with Martha until the Lord arrived. Notice she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Jesus knows that neither Mary or Martha or any individual can live by bread alone. In the temptation events in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said that it is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The time had arrived for Mary and Martha to feast spiritually upon the words of Jesus. Martha was being distracted from being spiritually fed by Jesus by or from other things. The things that Martha was doing was good works, and certainly not bad. But sometimes, even good things can fill up our lives to the point where we neglect our souls. We all need to hear this point. God has not blessed us with our families, our friends, our jobs, abilities, and other blessings to give us an excuse to abandon a close walk with Him. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Family is a great thing. But you see, we can get too distracted. Perhaps Mom stays home because the cousins are coming and she doesn't attend the worship, instead focusing on the meal at lunch. Family has become a distraction. Friends can become a distraction. Our friends want to get together, and Sunday is the only day we are off to reunite and get together for a reunion or an outing. Perhaps it's the job. Dad chooses to work overtime on Sunday to help make the boat payment. Nothing. Family, friends, and jobs, they're great, wonderful blessings. But they are not an excuse to abandon our walk with Christ. In John 15, in verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Another thing that our passage teaches us is the need to avoid excessive worry. Notice verse 41. "And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." How many of us could Jesus substitute our name for Martha? At this point in our text, Martha is a highly stressed woman. It is not hard to see the frazzled state of Martha in her statement to the Lord. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve?" picture the scene in the head of Martha. The Lord arrives at the door, and her sister, the flighty, unfocused Mary, runs off to be with the Lord. But Martha continues to work in the kitchen, all the more diligently, while she is steadily stewing up resentment in her head as she martyrs along alone in her mind. Lord, do you not care? Do you picture her? Finally, she just simply blows a gasket. She bursts out of the kitchen. She is exasperated and then, a little too loudly, blurts out, Lord, do you not care? My sisters in Christ, have you been there before? Now certainly the Lord cares about Martha. But Jesus is not nearly concerned about the problem as Martha is worried about it. The Lord is very concerned here, but it is much more about Martha's state of mind and her priority. In fact, much more than he is about having a feast served to him a little bit later in the day. Consider, when our faith grows, we worry less and suffer less anxiety. This is what Jesus taught from the earliest days of his ministry. Remember the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. We need to get our priorities in order. Martha was a wonderful and very good person. Martha just needed to reset her priorities. And now let us notice that only one thing was necessary. Verse 42. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. The good part which Mary had chosen was to listen to the Lord's teaching. In the big picture, the things which Jesus was teaching that day was far more important than what they were going to eat for dinner. You know, through the years at times I've seen ladies, perhaps on the day of a fellowship meal after services, that some would skip to go to prepare. Now they're doing a good thing, but they have a misplaced priority when they do such. If we find ourselves too busy to commune with the Lord in focused worship, to pray daily without ceasing, to study His Word daily, to meditate on life's purpose and to enjoy peaceful time with our Lord, then we've gone astray in our daily life and our habits. If our spiritual walk consists mainly of going to church and then in our thoughts and we quickly go on with life's busy week, then we're not receiving of the goodness and the blessings that the Lord desires for us to have. recall, the late Brother Johnny Ramsey said he didn't think any man had availed himself to a tenth of what God wanted to bless him with. If we are so hassled and stressed by daily life and routine, we soon find ourselves lashing out at God, His church, and our loved ones, just as Martha did. If we find ourselves in the same situation, we should realize that something needs to be fixed. Now next, let's notice that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. This is why Jesus must be over and above all other parts of life. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." After Lazarus had died, and as Jesus came near to Bethany, it was Martha who ran to meet Jesus, while Mary remained in the house. Her first words to Jesus seemed to mingle faith and complaint. In John chapter 11 and verse 21, it says, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" Now, while we don't want to condone or justify the complaint, we understand that many of the faithful have complained about one thing or the other. Abraham, Job, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Elijah, just to name a few. God seems to have more patience with this than he does with faithful grumbling and foolish accusations, such as those made by the Israelites in the wilderness when they suffered from the grasshopper syndrome. But Martha's faith never wavered. When Jesus asked her about her faith, she summed it up well in John 11, verse 27. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Jesus had earlier said only one thing is really necessary. That one thing is faith. Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We must avail ourselves to the word. John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Faith overcomes the world. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Without faith it is impossible to please him. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." We must keep the faith to receive the crown of righteousness. The gospel is taught so that men and women might be led to an obedient faith. Romans 16 and verse 26 says, "But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. Jesus approached the tomb of Lazarus 4 days after his death. But the one with the keys to death and Hades was about to call Lazarus back to this physical realm and reunite Martha with her brother. She indeed had faith, but sometimes just got her priorities out of line. And so finally today, this should remind us to have balance in our physical and spiritual lives. Now let's bounce forward to another visit by the Lord. And at this visit, Jesus is just days away from the cross. John chapter 12 and verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Here, we find Martha serving again. This time, the purpose of the gathering is to have a meal. The end of Jesus' ministry is near. And it seems in some ways that Mary and Martha understand that fact even more than the apostles seem to. Mary anoints Jesus' feet with costly perfume and weeps openly. Martha does what she does best. She fixes our Lord a dinner for perhaps the last time. But there is no complaint from the Lord this time. The Lord is soon to go to the realm from which he called forth Lazarus. But remember who we are talking about. It is Jesus, whom Martha identified as the Christ in verse 27, the Son of God. Jesus had identified himself as the resurrection and the life. He had proven it again by raising her brother from the dead. He would prove it again on the third day following his death. He would live again. My friend, are you ready to serve and worship him obediently? They are both necessary, and they are not conflicting. Begin or resume to today. Obey the gospel. Having heard the word, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, having believed according to Mark 16:16, Hebrews 11:6, having repented of sin, Luke 13:3, Acts 17:30, Acts 2:38, by confessing Jesus as Lord, Matthew 10:32 and Acts 8:37, and being baptized for the remission of sin, 1 Peter 3:21 and Acts 22:16. If you have come back, if you've wandered or misplaced your priorities, Jesus is ready to forgive, and Jesus is ready for you to resume your post of duty in his kingdom. If we can help you in any way, please contact us at office@tgrn.org so we can get in touch with you, help you on your journey, that path that leads to heaven, the greatest life that one can live, that of a Christian. Thank you for joining me today. Hope you'll tune in again next week, if the Lord wills, at this same time here on Studies in the Gospels. Until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a wonderful day.